3 days of talks on North Korea's nuclear weapons program ended yesterday in Beijing with a small measure of success. The six nations involved, the United States, China, Japan, Russia, and the two Koreas, agreed to continue talking and, according to China, not to escalate the situation. But North Korea did repeat threats it has made before to declare itself a nuclear state, to test a bomb, and then to merge these weapons into its considerable missile capacity. NPR's Mike Schuster joins us now from Los Angeles. Mike, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Scott.
And the White House kind of dismissed the North Korean threats as just the usual rhetoric. What kind of assessment are people making about what they said?
This is quite difficult, Scott, because the assessment that's come out of the U.S. intelligence community over the last 12 years has been back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. All during the 1990s, the intelligence community of the United States always hedged, believing they might have one or two bombs, but it was never certain. After the Bush administration came into office, this changed, and in December of 2001, there was what is known as a national intelligence estimate that affirmed positively that North Korea does have one or two bombs. At the same time, the intelligence community is required to inform Congress every 6 months about the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. This comes from the CIA, too, and none of those reports to Congress has ever reflected the certainty of the December 2001 National Intelligence Estimate. So there are some analysts who believe that, like the issue of intelligence and Iraq, there's been some manipulation within the Bush administration of the intelligence on North Korea. At any rate, what we can certainly say is that they may or have one or two bombs in there mm-hmm. in the negotiations and in the diplomatic pressure. They are using that to the hilt.
Michael, you've just come back from a few weeks in South Korea, and I wonder if that changes the picture of North Korea that you can get just here in the continental United States.
Very much so, Scott. Even the right-wingers in South Korea, who still unalterably oppose North Korea, see their leaders as much more rational set of leaders than is reflected in the United States. At the same time, you get a feeling in South Korea of South Korean strength. Their economy is 20 times that of North Korea. Their population is twice that of North Korea. And although they have a smaller army, it has much better weapons. They're highly trained, and they could certainly, in a war, if it came to that, beat the North Koreans. So you get an entirely different picture when you're there.
For the first time, I think, in years, over the past year, a kind of debate has been reopened in the United States about, if we note the considerable military and economic strength of South Korea, why are there still 37,000 U.S. troops there?
It's a good question, and it's a question that needs some more attention in the United States. The North Koreans no longer have the support from their earlier communist allies, China and Russia. And now they're struggling to figure out how they're going to be in the world. And I think this needs to be more of a debate in the United States. Not only how do we solve this issue of North Korea's nuclear capability, but eventually how to eliminate this problem in Northeast Asia and make peace either with these people or in a changed Korean peninsula and get on with it.
NPR's Mike Schuster in Los Angeles. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.